Just about today's scripture, it is a story that many of us have heard. It might be familiar to many of us, but interestingly enough, it never appears in the Revised Common Lectionary. So this is the first time I've ever preached on it, and we'll see what happens. But it's a wonderful story. You may know it.
Good morning. It's a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Well, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." A reading from the Word.
I invite you to pray with and for me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm a noisy person. I am. I've been told by many people that I'm the noisiest and the messiest person they've ever met in their whole life. I know that. I am always talking to myself. I'm always talking. And sometimes I will say to myself, out loud, of course, "Why are you always talking?" But this week, I was singing. And I wonder if you're familiar with this song. "I want to tell you all a story about a Harper Valley widow wife who had a teenage daughter who attended Harper Valley Junior High." You remember that one?
Yeah.
All right, that one there. And the song goes on. If you want, I'll continue. Kidding. A daughter, she comes home from school, and she gives her mom a note, and it's from the Harper Valley PTA, informing the mother that there are rumors all around about her. She's wearing her skirts way too high. She's running around with men. And so Mrs. Johnson goes that afternoon to the meeting of the Harper Valley PTA. And they were sure surprised when she wore her mini skirt into the room. And you remember what the widowed mother says? "Well, there's Bobby Taylor sitting there, and seven times he's asked me for a date." And she goes on and she addresses everybody in the Harper Valley PTA and names some of their less than redeeming habits. I mean, shouldn't Mrs. Widow Jones be told to keep her window shades all pulled completely down? She should. We've heard Peggy read the scripture today, and can you see why I've been driving everyone crazy singing this song this week? Because if you just take a quick look at the scripture, we see a little Peyton place in the temple area in Jerusalem. The scribes and the Pharisees, they have caught a woman red-faced in the act of adultery, and they bring her to Jesus. I don't know why they didn't bring the guy. I mean, I'm pretty sure you need two people to commit adultery. I'm sure it wasn't intentional. But what makes it even worse, the way they treated this woman, is you see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they really don't much care what this woman did or didn't do. She might have been the one with one of them. No, they brought her to Jesus, and they gathered everyone around, and she was just part of the object lesson. Have you ever seen a children's story, a children's sermon, where somebody will bring an egg and say, this egg is just like the Trinity? It's not, but an object lesson. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were really all about trapping Jesus. They asked him that lose-lose question. The law says you should stone her. What do you say? But they've been watching Jesus for a while, and they knew, especially if they brought the woman right to him, they knew he was not going to follow the law and say, yes, stone her. And as soon as he does that, well, he's in trouble. Because that's the law. But Jesus, what does the story say? But he doesn't answer. He gets down and he starts writing something on the ground with his finger. And have you ever wondered why he did this? What was he writing? Was it the name of the man with whom she committed adultery? Was it some of their names with a little sin or two next to their name? What I discovered, though, is that most scholars think that Jesus was really doing kind of what we do today. I admit I've done it. When somebody is talking to you about something and you don't really want to listen and you don't care, all of a sudden you got to check your text messages. Oh, yeah, I'm with you. Right? Right? I'm paying attention. Or you start, this is a good time to pick the pills off my sweater. Right? Jesus isn't concerned. But they keep going. Come on, Jesus, tell us, give us an answer. And he keeps playing Candy Crush on his phone. When finally he stands up and he says, okay, you who have not sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone at her. Do you know the old joke about that? Jesus has just said to the crowd, you without sin cast the first stone. And all of a sudden a woman comes out of the crowd and she hurls a stone at the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus turns around and says, Mom, you are not making this any easier. But no, one by one, we read the older, hopefully wiser, scribes and Pharisees, they drop their stones and go away. And that's when Jesus says, who's left to condemn you? Neither do I. Go and change your heart and your life. In addition to being noisy and messy, I'm also a bit of a martyr. And every time I read this story, I put myself in the position of the woman brought before the public, ready to be stoned to death and deserving it because I'm always falling short. But then saying, thank you, Jesus, I am forgiven. And that's still me failing and asking for forgiveness many times over. But this week, I put myself in the sandals of the Pharisee. Because as much as I hate to admit it, I have carried many, many stones with me. I've held on to grudges so tightly, and I've thought of little revenge plots for hurts done to me, and I wanted to hurl that stone to the person who did me wrong. And I'll tell you, that stone, it gets heavy. I wonder if any of us, if we have a stone that we're saving for that person, that institution, because something was done to us that we can't get let go of, and we love a chance just to hurl that baby and make things right, even though it wouldn't. So that's why everybody has a stone today. It's a little exercise that I picked up from Bishop Desmond Tutu, and some of you who were in our book group when we read his book on forgiving, Bishop Tutu and his daughter Mope, who wrote a book, and they suggest when you want to begin the path of forgiving, pick up a stone. If you have a stone that you're still holding in your heart and you think maybe today is the day that you can let it go, leave it outside in the parking lot today. Maybe you can't yet. Maybe you can leave it when you get home, or maybe you can leave it a month from now or a year. But try. Because letting go of that stone, it can be a life changer. There's a young woman I work with at one of my places of work. Not here, so you don't have to look around. But she is a lovely young woman. And she has carried a heavy, heavy grudge for something that was awful. Three cousins, two of them went out one night and they drank heavily, and one got behind the wheel and had an accident, and the other cousin who wasn't driving, she was killed. And so my coworker, she could not let the horrible pain go. She was on the local news saying, "I will never forgive my cousin who drove." And for years, she did not. We hadn't run into each other for about 6 months. And when I saw her again, she looked different. She was somehow lighter. Brighter, I don't know. She was a lovely young woman before, but this time she had a different aura. And then the next time we kept seeing each other and we're catching up, she had told me that she had forgiven her cousin who was now out of prison. And I wonder if maybe the difference in her presence was that she was finally able to let down that impossibly heavy stone. And I know it's hard. And there is no way that we can do it alone. But we don't need to. Our tender, tender God will cover our hands and we will put the stones down together. May it be so.